Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading is Mark chapter 9, verse 17 to 23. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him and teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
The Bible is everything to me. Everything. I read it over and over and over again, and I plan on reading it till the day I die or the day that Jesus comes, whichever comes first. Just recently, I had some new ideas about a way to approach the Word of God, and I named it the Synagogue Therapy. I find it to be sustaining, therapeutic way. This is what I want to share with you this morning as a personal testimony. A few months ago, I had a terrible pain in my right hand. The joint between my fingers was swollen, and I knew that arthritis was on its way and making its way into my system. I'm not sure if you can inherit arthritis, but my mother's body is riddled with it. It's a horrid disease. It has morbidly disfigured her hands and feet and confined her to a hospital bed in a wheelchair, as well as grossly restricting the use of her hands. One night, a few months ago, I felt a shooting pain in my hand. I lay on my bed in the darkness, and in all earnestness, I said to God, Lord, remember that day you were in the synagogue and the man with the shriveled hand was there? Remember you told him to hold out his hand and you healed it? Lord, I'm imagining that I'm standing in the synagogue and you are there. I could picture the scene perfectly. Then in the black of night, I held out my hand toward Jesus. And when I took it back, the pain was gone. The next two nights, I felt a sharp pain again, and I held out my hand. This time, when I took it back, the pain had left me, and it has not returned. Except for the hard bulge that's between my two knuckles, there's no trace of arthritis. This is how the idea of synagogue therapy came to me. Each time something happens to me or to someone else, I think of that particular incident, and then I connect it with a similar incident that I know can be found in the Bible. Next, I concentrate on the circumstance of the Bible event and the power of the sacred story that has been left for us in God's Word. This being done, I then transfer what the Holy Spirit has given me to understand from the Scripture to the present circumstances. thus finding meaning and understanding for the situations that are presently confronting us. After the cure of my arthritic pain, I was on fire to find further ways to call upon our faith in the power of the gospel for the 21st century. As you can imagine, this new course of study, synagogue therapy, was for me just that, new. There were many more details, more theological truths that the Holy Spirit needed to teach me. I am merely an apprentice that is eager to learn. And after all, these are end times, and all manner of new truth is available to all of us who diligently seek for it. What follows are some case studies of patterns of connections between biblical truth and present-day realities. In each one, I try to see what God would have me to understand for the express purpose of moving an intellectual belief in the gospel's power to an experiential trust in and expectation of God's promise for his followers here and now. Please just humor me for a while I explain how I believe synagogue therapy can work. My mother is 91, and she is in excruciating pain. She has a deep ulcer on the right heel, and you could see her tendon hanging there until recently when they cut it out. There is also no blood flow to her foot. And I think to myself, Abraham's wife Sarah was 90 years old when she had a baby. And I say to myself from experience, she had to be in excruciating pain. A friend of mine had a hip replaced, and I remembered in the book of Genesis, it tells about Jacob wrestling with a man all through the night. And when the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched and Jacob left limping. My mother's pain did not stop, and the hip replacement was still sore. But there are sacred stories that have happened in the past that we can call upon for the comfort of just knowing we are not alone in this daily trials and sufferings that we have. Here's another way to look at synagogue therapy. 5 months ago, my cousin had a back operation. The first one failed, so they opened up and went in and did a second operation, which left him paralyzed. Immediately, I thought of that passage in Mark. Remember when the four friends of the man who was paralytic went up to the top of the roof and opened the hole and let their friend down in front of Jesus? Well, with my new understanding of the power of the Holy Word for our present day, I was more than a little zealous to find healing for my cousin. Joey had told me that he had three very best friends that he had taught school with for 30 years, and in the summer he had also painted houses with those same men. All I needed to do was meet these three tried and true best friends of Cousin Joey and ask them metaphorically to hold the corners of Joey's mat with me and lower him down in front of Jesus. I had no clue how this could work in the present day, but I did know it was possible. As Providence would have it, the next time I visited Joe, two of his three best friends were there. These were men whom I had never met, but I launched out with the gospel story and asked them if they would join me somehow. One of them looked at me and said, "I don't believe in those things." Then he looked at Joey and said, "Sorry, buddy, but I can't do it for you." I had not entertained the idea that they would not believe in God's healing power. I said to myself, I need to find three other who will suspend their disbelief and trust God before we can let down the mat. Still, I believe the concept of connecting our life incidents with similar ones found in the scriptures, thereby being sustained by the Holy Spirit. I've told you before about being attacked by a rabid fox last spring. Right after the incident, I thought of the text when Jesus was talking to Satan. And Jesus said, in regards to Satan's relationships to humans, "You, Satan, will bruise the man's heel, and he, the man, will crush your head." You remember that text. The rabid fox, which I associated with the essence of evil, certainly bruised my heel. But the next day, the police shot him, cut off his head, and sent his brain to the lab. His head was crushed. Another poignant, beautiful awakening of the scripture's meaning came to me in stages. When I read a scripture, I always put myself in the midst of the time, the place, and the action. Years ago, when I read Psalm 84:10, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere," I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Instantly, I envisioned myself as a doorkeeper in the God's throne room. Every night for months, I would lay down and I would imagine that I was a doorkeeper. And from where I stood, I could look down the corridor and see the Lord sitting on his throne. And sometimes if I went early in the morning, there'd be no one else there. Or if I stayed late at night, there would be no one there. So I would go down, and in front of the Lord's throne, there was a little stool. And I would sit on the stool and chat with him for a while. I started to cherish that little stool. It was a sacred experience for me. Years later, I accepted an interim minister's position at a nearby church, and one of the members hurt her back, and she could not attend church because she was in such pain, and she couldn't sit down. So she would lay flat on the ground and flat on the floor at her house. For weeks after I would preach at the church, I would go and visit her, and she had a little stool. And I would sit on the stool while she laid on the floor, and I would preach the sermon over again. And as I was sitting on that stool, I thought to myself, this is the same stool that I used to sit on when I was at the throne of God, because Jesus says, "What you do for others, you do for me." At the end of July, I was in a car crash and totaled my car. I was pretty beat up and from the impact. My left side was killing me, and I laid in my bed at night, and I asked God to heal me. He did not. For days, my rib cage was sore. And then the story of the Good Samaritan came to mind. Remember when he carried the beaten man to the inn? I thought, that's what I need. I need a Good Samaritan, and I need an inn to stay at. I thought also of the story in 2 Kings when Naaman had leprosy, and he went to meet the man of God, and guess what? Elijah didn't even come out. Elisha didn't come out. He sent his servant to say, "Go down to the Jordan and dip in it 7 times, and then you will be well." The man did just that. "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be well." Sometimes God heals us immediately, and sometimes it takes weeks of rest at the inn, or 7 days or 7 weeks. I'm healed now, but it took time. And I just kept saying to myself, 7 dips in the Jordan, 7 dips in the Jordan. And I was comforted. This past summer, I preached in a small non-denominational church in an old logging camp in Maine. And my husband and I take our little 12-foot aluminum boat with a 4-horsepower motor and putt, putt, putt over to church and preach there. One day we lost our oar lock. And so I remembered the story again that Elijah, remember? The men wanted him to come and help him build a house for them, the prophets, the school of the prophets. And one of the men had borrowed an axe head. And when he was cutting down the wood, he lost the axe head in the water. And Elijah came and said, "Where did you lose it?" And he threw in a stick, and it floated. The iron axe head floated to the head, to the top of the water. So I thought, well, all the way over there, I thought, "Lord, please help us find the oarlock." And I was imagining that it could float to the top, but it didn't. Though I really wanted that prayer to be answered. But on the way back to camp, I said, "The Lord cannot help us find what is lost if we're looking in the wrong place." The next day, my husband walked down the stream right in front of our camp and found his oarlock. So you see, I have much to learn about this course of study that I call synagogue therapy. However, I find it to be a valid theory, a useful healing therapy that is available to all students of life. Without a single doubt, we can positively be sure that the power of the Holy Spirit is still offered to us. There's no trial, no sickness, no temptation, no attack can be made against us, no loss, no fear that we can experience that is beyond the power of the Holy Spirit to control. What I am trying to say is that if we study God's word and make it part of us, we can find personal health in this unhealthy world. It takes lots of prayerful study, lots of up and downs, and sometimes years to make the connections between the scripture and our life. But consider this. If we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit for teachers, we can't lose. It is of utmost importance to remember that this therapy is a way to help us keep our minds and thoughts positive in the midst of a troubled life. It is not a theory that abolishes evil, temptation, or Satan's presence in this world. It is not a therapy that gives us a magic wand. We have the whole Bible to call upon for direction and guidance. Remember, God said no to Moses in regards to his entering the earthly promised land. After this saintly man had led the Hebrews through the wilderness for 40 years, God told Moses he couldn't go in. God said no to David when David wanted so much to build his house. David was known after man after God's heart, and still God said no to him. This therapy does not give us the right to have our own way. It gives us the right to have God's way. Amen. And now we are going to sing hymn number 286.
Blessed one. wonderful words of life. Oh, so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Father, how must we trust in your word, keep it close to our hearts, and let us know, Lord, you hear all we say and answer our prayers. We are glad to be your people. We wait for your return. Amen.